Jesus Christ, knowing that we have the Holy Spirit of God living within us, is enough to make us sing every day about heaven on the other side with anticipation. Good to see all of you that are here today. It's always a joy and a pleasure to see the saints of God who have come in order to worship God in spirit and in truth. Those of you who are visiting with us, know that you are our honored guests. We appreciate your presence, and we hope that you will come again, be with us at the next appointed time. Today marks a great milestone in the history of this church. If you have been a part of this church for many years and you go back to Hamilton Park, you have a great appreciation for what God has done with this church. There is no doubt that we have come this far by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that are not seen. None of us who started this journey saw this, what we are witnessing today. It is a result of our walk with God by faith that God has blessed this church in a way that none of us ever dreamed he would. And so, today we come to another milestone, not knowing what the future will hold, but knowing who holds the future. Knowing that the God that we serve is a God of providence, which means that he controls the events and he brings things to fruition according to his will. I feel like preaching already. You talk about God, I'm telling you, it just makes you know what a great God we serve. A God who can work all things to our good if we love him and are called according to his purpose. So today, the reason it's a milestone that we will witness men who have stepped forward to become a part of the leadership of this church, serving as elders of this church. I look forward to the presentation of these men. Very excited about their coming forward. And I hope through the lesson this morning that I will lay a foundation that will help all of us to see the part that we all play in this great, wonderful work of Almighty God. It's not just about them. It's about all of us who have been called by Almighty God. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 and verse number 11 through 16, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom? From whom means from Christ. The whole body, fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I want to call your attention to a subject, gifts to the church. Gifts to the church. The church of our Lord is something that God had in his mind before the foundation of the world. Sometimes we don't really understand or appreciate the great significance with which you and I are part of the calling of God into the church of Christ. This church, if you go back to Ephesians, beginning at verse number 6, the Bible says that the Gentiles, I want to show you how important the church is to God before we talk about the gifts, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift, watch this, according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, he's talking about the gift that God gave to him. Unto me, he gave me a gift. But when I look at this gift, I am less than the least of all saints. If anybody didn't deserve this gift from God, I don't deserve it. That I should preach. What a gift. That a man be called and given a gift to preach. He says to preach the unsearchable, preached among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And then he says, to make all men see, God has given me this great gift of preaching to make all men see what is the fellowship of his mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Listen to him. To the intent. Why was Paul given this gift of preaching? Why was he allowed to be able to unravel the mystery that God held secret before the foundation or before the creation of the world? What is this great secret? Here it is. He says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access. But I got to go back because I missed verse number 9. I got too excited. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers. Now listen to me. When he says to the principalities and powers, he's talking about to every living being, whether it is seen or unseen. He's talking about those demons. He's talking about those angelic beings. He said the whole world, every living thing, needs to know this. Now watch what he says. Watch what he says. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the what? By the church. The manifold wisdom of God. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. This church that we're talking about is of eternal plan and purpose.
And when Jesus Christ came into this world, he came into this world in order to establish this church. When he came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked and said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they say, some say that you're John the Baptist, some say that you're Jeremiah, and others say that you are Elijah. But he said, but whom say ye that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. What you just said, it didn't come from you. It didn't come from another man. It came from God. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, the fact that I am the Son of God, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What we are involved in today is of eternal significance. It is involved in the very purpose of Jesus Christ coming into the world to establish this church. Now, I want to show you something else about it. Is that this church is designed for God to bring all men into knowledge of his will. When he said in Matthew 16 and verse number 19, he said, I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. In other words, he's telling Peter, he said, Peter, when the church is established, you will use the keys to open the door for men to come into the church. And on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 stepped out and came into the body of Christ, the church of Christ. And every day the Lord just kept adding to the church, daily such as should be saved. But Peter opened the door with the gospel sermon, preaching the gospel, and this is what allowed men to come into the body of Christ. That's how men get in here. When you think in terms of Peter using the keys, he used them again some 8 years later at the household of Cornelius, who was a Gentile. Peter didn't want to go, but he said, you gotta go. And Peter opened the door, and Cornelius and the Gentile came into this body. And so when we look at our text today, it is God's intent and God's purpose that Jews and Gentiles be members of the body of Christ, the whole world. That's why we got the commission. You go preach this gospel to every creature, because everybody should be in the church, should be in this great institution. And don't you let anybody ever make you think that the church is secondary in the mind of God. Hello, no way, no how. It is the ultimate end for what God used Christ for in coming into the world. It is the ultimate end. That's why the Bible says, giving him to be the head over the body, which is the church, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. It's all about Christ and the church. Three times in the book of Ephesians, he uses metaphor. One metaphor is the body, the human body. We are the body of Christ. Another is we are the building of God, talking about the temple. And then another is the relationship of a husband and a wife. The church is the wife or the bride of Christ. But each one of them show relationship to Christ. His body, his building, the temple where he dwells. And then as a man has his wife, the church is the wife of Christ, the bride of Christ. And so, ladies and gentlemen, here is where our lesson begins, and it won't take me long. And that is that when Jesus understood how significant the church is, carrying out its purpose in the will of Almighty God, here is what he did. He gave gifts to men. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 7, I want you to look at this verse with me, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 7. And I don't want you to follow me now. But unto every one of us, notice now, to how many of us? Every one of us is given what? Grace. According to the measure of the what? Gift of Christ. To every one of us. Not a one of us have been left out in the gift giving of our Lord. Every one of us has been given this gift of grace. Paul is not the only one who has been given this gift of grace. All of us have been given this great gift. And notice the Bible says, wherefore he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts. Watch this. Gave what? Gifts to men. Gifts to men. He didn't say a gift. He said gifts to men. In the framework of God's great unity, he is in the business of giving gifts to men. The only analogy that I can come up with is the parable that Jesus gave in Matthew 25 and verse number 14, where he gave us the parable of the man who left and gave talents to men. One he gave five, and to another he gave two, and then to another he gave one. In other words, he made the decision as to how many would get five and how many would get two and how many would get one. Well, what is that telling me? That is that Jesus Christ is giving gifts to men. The analogy is that he is a great king who has gone up against his enemy. He's gone up against the world. He's gone up against the devil. He's gone up against death. He's gone up against everything that defeats man, and he has come out victorious. And now he is in his great celebration, and in his celebration, the spoils. He's giving out gifts to his people. And every one of us are standing in line getting these gifts as he spreads them to his people. That's the picture that he gives. But every one of us have received a gift from God. But what you need to understand is that all of us don't receive the same measure of gifts. Some of us get five, some of us get two, and some of us get one. But you got to understand that even with that one, you got to do something with that one. As we talk about these men coming on board, they're coming on board, but they're coming on board as men who have been gifted in ways that the ordinary member has not been gifted. But what you got to see is that God intends for every man who has received the spiritual gifts of God's great grace and all the things that God has uniquely brought you in here. He wants you to develop it. He wants you to get it where it brings glory to God, but it builds up the body of Christ. So these men, as they come forward, you got to see them as gifts. Even the preacher, the evangelist, they're gifts. God has gifted. I don't know how that's coming out, but it sure is the truth. But here's the clincher, is that the gift does not come from me. It doesn't come from you. God is the one who gives these gifts. It's all about Jesus. It's not about any of us. And how God blesses and how God raises you up and how God brings you through things and gets you ready to make a contribution to the kingdom of God. That's his business. He did not carry us all the same way. But I guarantee you that as you sit here and you listen to me, he gave you a gift. And he intends for you to find out what that gift is and to get that gift active. Building up the body of Christ. As you look at these gifts, it won't take me long. Nobody said, you just said come on, but you didn't say, all right. I got it. Amen, amen, amen. All right, hang in there, preacher. Use your gifts. Now, watch this. And I want you to be afraid of the gifts because the gifts come in various ways. And I'm going to enumerate a couple of them. He's already enumerated one, and that is we all receive the gift of grace. But in Acts 2:38, we all receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's God giving a gift to all of us. Romans 5 and verse number 17, we all have the gift of righteousness. That's something he just gives us. And as we minister to the church, he gives you a certain gift. There's a certain thing about you that can't nobody else do but you. And God wants you to get that active. But here, where you have to understand, as we look at these men coming forward, these men come forward as having been especially gifted by God. Hear what he says. He says, some, he gave some. Are you with me? He gave some to be what? Apostles. Some to be what? Prophets. Listen to me. The apostles were gifts to the church that God blessed with measures of talents and abilities and knowledge that no other man will ever be able to match. And then the prophets. But here's what they have done. Without me going through a lot to go and try to prove, if I have to, I will. But I'm just going to sum it up by saying that what the apostles and prophets have done, they have allowed us to benefit from their gifts and from God's revelation to them by giving us the New Testament, what we have today. Everything that we have here is a result of God blessing the apostles and the prophets. And that's why we stay in the apostles' doctrine, teaching, because they were gifts that God gave to the church, and they're still with us today. Paul still preaches to us using his gift as he did. But now, here's where you have to see that he gave some to be evangelists. Evangelists are very important to the church as gifts because they minister to the word of God. They minister to the part of the kingdom of God where you continue to bring people into the body of Christ, actively involved in the saving of the souls of men. Evangelists are those men who travel and go to the far distances to keep the church of God, to build the church of God in perpetuity. The church is involved in continuing to grow. And if you don't have men who are dedicated to the preaching of the word, then we will not have a church that will continue to grow and be nurtured. Then you have these men serving in capacities who are pastors. These are elders and bishops. This is what our men are coming forward. They're coming forward to serve in this capacity as pastors. Pastors who teach. Pastors who elder. Pastors who are bishops. God doesn't have one pastor. God has pastors who are elders and who are bishops. Bishops, elders, and pastors, they all reference the same man. If he's a pastor, he's a bishop. If he's a bishop, he's a pastor. And so when these men come forward, they're coming forward to pastor this church. They're coming forward to shepherd this church. They're coming forward to bishop this church. Bishop carries the idea of superintendents. They're coming in a capacity. They're coming in a capacity to serve as your supervisors. They're coming in, listen to me, as being men who have taken on these roles as occupations. This is their occupation. This, they must take it on as a full-time, I'm going to say it this way, as a priority to anything else that they do. Surely they are married, they have families, but the shepherding of this church, the bishoping of this church, the eldering of this church must come first. Everything else must be put in or must be prioritized around. Evangelists, they don't come in part-time, preacher here, there, and limited. No, God wants them in here full-time, occupational. So when a man steps forward, he's really stepping forward to something tremendous. But notice, he's stepping forward to be a part of a tradition.
Part of a tradition.
That's in the eternal purpose of Almighty God. So that's why the gravity with which they come forward is so important. And as I close, they are coming forward for the purpose and the aim of perfecting the saints. This is an ongoing process, which means that they're coming forward in order to instruct, complete, correct. They're coming forward that they may be a part of a process that helps the rest of us learn our gifts, explore our gifts, use our gifts to the fullness. In other words, they come in to help get us where we need to be, to help move the church forward. It's so important that these men understand that they are at the lead. And then not only that, but it's a matter of putting the pieces together to arrange God's people where they need to be to participate in this great plan that God has. The work of ministry. In other words, God wants us all to understand that we all have ministry. We all have a job to do. Administrative and ministration. Which means that we have to submit ourselves to these men. We have to. Because they are the administrators. But we have a ministration of ministry. And somebody said, he ain't no more than that. No, 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 no. Don't say, he ain't no more than the rest of us. He is more than the rest of us. Because he's going to be held accountable to something that you won't be held accountable to. He's going to have to give account to the chief shepherd. Amen. For he must give account of what he has done among God's sheep. When you talk about it, you and I can't come in and say, try that on your job, talking about, supervisor, he ain't nobody. Do that for a week or two. Some of you know you wouldn't even be able to get by with that a week or two. These men have been given gifts. These men have been brought into a situation where they have been made by the Holy Spirit of God through the qualifications and through what God has been able to bring them up through. Brought them to such a time as this that their gifts now become apparent to us, and we're able to see how God has blessed them to be where they are. And then the latter part of that is, and I'm closing, that's the good part of it, and that is making us all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. In other words, if you had a puzzle, have you ever had one of those boxes that had the pieces of a puzzle? And I mean, you look at the pieces and there's no way in the world you say, I don't know how in the world that's going to get put back together. But we always find ourselves looking at the what on the front of the box? The picture. Are you with me? When you talk about the Church of Christ, guess whose picture is on the front of the box? Jesus Christ. And so what God is doing, he is bringing these men that they may be able to help us all come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. In other words, God wants these men to take us from infancy to maturity. That's why you have evangelists. That's why you have pastors who teach. Because they're moving the church from one point to another point. A church can't go any higher than its leadership. So all I'm doing is trying to help us to see the importance and the gravity with which these men come. They don't need to be, we don't need to be as a church tossed to and fro. We don't need to be cared about with every wind of doctrine. And we're living in a day where there are so many doctrines that we are facing now that we've never had to face before in our lives. And it's important that these men guide us through these tempestuous waters. And not only that, but he says, by the sleight of men who through cunning craftiness. You know what that means, the sleight of men? That means you got men who are professional at being able to hold dice in their hand. And you think that when they throw it, they don't know what number's going to come up. But when they throw it, they know what number's going to come up because they're that good that they can throw it and make the number come up. You know what Paul is saying? Paul is simply saying you got folk in the church just like that. You got some folk in the church who do not want to see the church grow, who are looking for opportunity to deceive the people of God. And God needs shepherds to be able to weed out those crafty charlatans. And if you think we don't have them in this church, you are asleep. We got some folk in this church who good at throwing dice. You want to fight? You want to see me fight? Let somebody mess with this church. Now I'm going to fight. I'm not going to fight like that, but I'm going to fight with the word of God. I don't have to tote and carry either. I got to, this is what I'm going to shoot with. It's got 66 bullets. Amen. That's what you got to shoot with. Amen. Amen. So, the church, as I close, is for the exaltation of Christ. He must be exalted. There is no one else who even deserves to be exalted except Jesus. He came into this world for this church. He died and purchased it with his own blood. He is the head of this church. He is the full, the church is to fulfill all that God has ever intended for the world. And to be honest about it, when you look at the church is the bride of Christ. Amen. When you look at the church, he said he would present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He would do it by the washing of the word. When he does it, he wants us to know that we become his body, his flesh, and his bones. Jesus gives us the whole essence. And that's why the Bible says in Ephesians 2:19 that we're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. And of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, chief cornerstone. Yes, sir. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and the morning star. He's the Alpha and he's the Omega. He started us and he's going to end us. There is nobody greater. So the church must glorify this Christ, must make sure that he gets glory and honor, and his knowledge is going out to the world that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Amen. We come here that we may be able to express ourselves in service to him, giving him all the glory and the honor. Somebody ought to want to be a part of an institution like this. This is greater than the Kiwanis Club. It's greater than is greater than any club that you could ever be a part of. This is not a club. This is the living organism of God Almighty in the world. I pray that you'll get your life and you'll become a full-time Christian, not a part-time Christian, but a full-time Christian. That's your occupation, to be a Christian. And everything else must align with that.
When you become a Christian, you become a Christian by hearing the word of God, believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your sin, and confessing him to be the Son of God, buried with him in the water grave of baptism, which is for the remission of sin. When you are baptized, you are baptized into Christ. You are baptized into the body of Christ, and God gives you his Holy Spirit. You live according to his word. Be faithful unto death, and when death does come, he'll give you a crown that fadeth not away. I pray that this is your desire. If you strayed from God, you're living beneath God's expectation. Why don't you get it right with God? Come right now while together we stand and sing, Will You Come?
Call him up and tell Jesus what the problem is. Call him up, he will lend you an ear. Just call him up, he will cast away your doubts and fears. Stop hesitating, I know God is waiting. So call him up in prayer. Jesus is a friend who's there in all your times of need. And when trials come, your call he will heed. So just call him up. There's no load too big for him to bear. Stop hesitating. I know God is waiting. So call him up in prayer. Call him up. Jesus knows your every burden. Call him up. He's a Savior who cares. Just call him up. There's no load too big for him to bear. Stop hesitating. I know God is waiting. So call him up in prayer. Jesus is a friend who's there in all your times of need.